And comes from the book of Acts, chapter 4, selected verses. While the apostles were still addressing the crowd, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees came up to them, angry because they were teaching the people and proclaiming the resurrection of the dead in the person of Jesus. It was evening by now, so the authorities arrested the apostles and put them in jail for the night. Despite this, many of those who had heard the speech believed. The total number had now risen to something like 5,000. When the leaders, the elders, and the scribes met the next day in Jerusalem, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, Johanan, Alexander, and all who were of the priestly class or the high priestly class were there. They brought Peter and John before them and began to interrogate them. "By what power and in whose name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke up. "Leaders of the people, elders, if we must answer today for a good deed done to a person who was unable to walk and explain how this person has been made whole, then you and all the people of Israel must realize that it was done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. In the power of that name, this person stands before you perfectly sound." They were amazed as they observed the self-assurance of Peter and John, and they realized that the speakers were uneducated and of no standing. Then they recognized them as having been with Jesus. When they saw the person who had been healed standing with them, they could think of nothing to say, so they ordered them out of the court while they consulted. "What will we do with these two? Everyone who lives in Jerusalem knows what a remarkable show of power took place through them. We can't deny it. To stop this from spreading further among the people, we must give them a stern warning never to mention the Galilean's name to anyone again." So the priests and elders called the apostles back and made it clear that under no circumstances were they to speak the name of Jesus or teach anything about Jesus. Peter and John answered, "Judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight for us to obey you rather than God. Surely we cannot help speaking of what we have heard and seen." At that point, they were dismissed with further warnings. The court could find no way to punish them because all the people were praising God for what they had seen and heard. After being released, they went back to their own people and told them what the priests and elders had said. The community of believers was of one mind and one heart. None of them claimed anything as their own. Rather, everything was held in common. The apostles continued to testify with great power to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they were all given great respect. Nor was anyone needy among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them and give the money to the apostles. It was then distributed to any members who might be in need.
The Sunday after Easter is historically the lowest attendance Sunday of the year. And usually it's the pastor who doesn't show up. But I'm here, and I'm very excited about our theme for today. So in the Bible, after the accounts of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, which we heard about last Sunday on Easter, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the next book in the Bible is what? It's Acts for short. And the longer name of the book is the Acts of the Apostles. That's right. So Michael just read chapter 4 for us, but I want to catch us up about what happened in chapters 1, 2, and 3. So we remember, or we have heard, what happened at the end of the Gospels. The women went to the tomb, and they found that it was empty. There were experiences of Jesus appearing to the women, to the disciples, and that's pretty much the end of those books. Then what happens next? We hear at the very beginning of the book of Acts that Jesus kept appearing to the apostles. So all of a sudden, we had 12 disciples, and now they aren't called that name anymore. They are called a different name. They're called apostles. A disciple is a student. And a student is someone who is in the midst of learning and someone who is taught by a teacher. But the word apostle means something a little different than the word disciple. The word apostle means ambassador or messenger. And so it signifies that someone is no longer simply learning as a student, but now they have been sent out to embark on a mission. So in the beginning of Acts, we hear that Jesus keeps appearing to the apostles, and he does this for what the text says is 40 days. And whenever the text says 40 days, it's a round number that usually meant an unspecified amount of time. So we have these stories about Jesus appearing to the apostles for an unspecified amount of time. And what he's doing during all those appearances is he is telling the apostles about the kingdom of God. So that's a phrase that would have been heard very differently in those times to those people than it is to us. The apostles lived in and under the Roman Empire, which was a type of kingdom. So it was a type of government, a government. So when they heard that word, the kingdom of God, it was Jesus showing them a different type of government than they are used to. And so I was thinking about what would that be like for us here and now to hear it. It might be like we live in the United States of America, so it might be Jesus appearing to us and telling us that we are going to be living as though we are in the United States of the divine. How would that look different? Or the democratic government of God. It'd be totally different. So Jesus was appearing to them and showing them that pledging allegiance to God is going to look different than abiding by the norms and the rules of the current earthly laws and customs. So this is what he said to them during these appearances. Jesus said, "When the Holy Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." And so he is sending them out to be witnesses, and they're supposed to witness about this new type of government, this new kingdom of God. So witnessing in the kingdom of God meant that the apostles were not going to be taking part in victimization, because that was kind of what was going on under the current government. They were not going to be taking part in domination, because that was definitely going on in the current form of government. They were going to be practicing inclusivity, which was not so much happening in the current form of the government. Specifically, Jesus modeled inclusivity at the table, and it really mattered to their customs who you ate with. And so he's saying, I want you to go out and be apostles and preach about this kind of kingdom of God, this kind of government. So Peter is the first one that we hear about. He was one of the original 12 that starts going out and preaching about this, and who knows how well he's going to do, but the result was miraculous. He starts preaching about this new way of living, and the text says that thousands of people listened, and they didn't just listen to this sermon, but they also acted, because the book is called Acts. So these thousands of people joined the apostles, and they acted. They started selling their possessions, and they used the profit to care for one another. They ate together. They prayed together, and it didn't matter their social status, what zip code they were from, what part of town they had come from or grown up in. They just did it together, and they even began to practice the healing arts for whoever was in need. And when they did that, they would always do it in the name and in the memory of Jesus. So that's Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3, with a few things left out. But we get to Acts chapter 4, which was what our text was for today. And that picks up with two of these apostles preaching. And they are no longer timid as they used to be in the Gospels when Jesus was still alive. They are very bold now. and they've grown, they've matured, they've evolved, and they are preaching to a crowd of thousands. So the sermon is happening, and the authorities walk up to them in the middle of this sermon, this preaching, and they arrest them. There was no freedom of speech. They did not agree with what was being preached. They wanted to shut it down. And so that's what they did. They're like, oh, this will work, right? We'll just arrest them. The arrest kind of backfired because putting Peter and John in jail only served to give them more street cred. They had a record now, and it looked good, actually. So when Peter and John went to jail, that day, 5,000 more people joined the movement, which is a number, and it's a big number. So for comparison about how many is 5,000 people, I want you to think about, I'm sure you all saw pictures of the people in the Capitol Rotunda this week. And if you didn't, if you were there, you can imagine what that was like, but there's five floors. There's, and they're round, so there's the fifth floor, and you can see down to all the other levels. There's the fourth, the third, the second, the first. The current capacity inside the Oklahoma State Capitol right now, because it's under construction, is 1,620 people. So on that one day, there was more than three times the amount of people that have been at the state capitol that joined this movement in one day after Peter and John were arrested. So it was growing. Predictably, the very next day, the religious authorities in Jerusalem tried to shut it down again. They're like, this is not what we were hoping for. So they get Peter and John out of jail, and they interrogate them. And they say to them this, who gave you the power and authority to do what you are doing? It made them nervous because Peter and John had no official standing. They were so self-assured, which made no sense because they were kind of nobodies. And Peter and John responded. They said, you do realize that you are interrogating us because we're doing something right. Something that benefits the common folk. We are providing healing, and yeah, you don't like it that every time we do this, we invoke the name of the person that you executed. But guess what? We're not going anywhere. We're not stopping. And most importantly, you do not hold all the power in this situation. So the authorities became very fearful. They could see that this movement was spreading very quickly. And the public surveys came in and said that more and more folks were in support of this new type of kingdom. So they decided to let Peter and John out of jail only with a warning instead of a court-imposed punishment because they didn't know what the people would do. There were so many people on their side now. They hoped that this movement would just fizzle away after Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. But what happened instead is that Peter and John's story went viral. This was the account from our text of what happened as a result. The community of believers was of one mind and one heart. None of them claimed anything as their own. Rather, everything was held in common. They were all given great respect. Nor was anyone needy among them. For those who owned property or houses would sell them, and the money was distributed to any who might be in need. So today's scripture is actually a biblical account of community organizing. Jesus showed the disciples that you don't have to abide by laws that are unjust. He taught them to treat one another with compassion and equality and dignity. And when those in power continue to take from persons who do not have enough and give to those who have more than they need, then the believers must continue to speak up until something changes. Jesus is famous for occupying the temple on Monday after his Palm Sunday arrival into Jerusalem. He threw out the money changers, he angered the authorities, and he commissioned the disciples to become apostles, to go out and to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, to teach, to be teachers, to pledge allegiance to the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of whoever is currently in power. So it's true that this week the fire marshal did close down the Oklahoma State Capitol every day this week so that only one person could go in for every one person that went out after the 1,620 people were already in there and filled at capacity. And I was lucky enough to be one of those 1,620 people on Thursday morning when I arrived at 8 a.m. advocating for our state's public education for equality and compassion and dignity to be given to our public servants. After the clergy of all faith who were invited to be there on Thursday morning, after we gathered and we prayed for and we blessed and we sang over the teachers and the support staff and the students and the legislators and the security officers, I went around and I wanted to be a visible presence of our church's support for what was happening there. Now, I kind of stood out. I was not wearing a red t-shirt like lots of the teachers. I had my clergy collar on, I had my stole on, and in a lot of traditions, you don't see that on a female. And so I started out on the fourth floor. By that time, I could not even get to the fifth floor where many of the legislators' offices were because there's four stairwells and there was four lines of about 100 people waiting for one person to come down so one person could go up. So I started on the fourth floor and I just walked around in a circle. And, you know, it didn't seem like it was going to be much, but it was because, like I described myself, I looked different and everybody was staring at me. There was teachers that had brought their chairs, had brought their backpacks. They were camped to stay all day, all week. And here I am walking around and I'm very visible. And so teachers would keep coming up to me and shaking my hand and say, thank you for being here. Thank you for your community support. We appreciate this so much. So I did that on the fourth floor. I did it on the third. I did it on the second. I did it on the first. And I thought that it was crowded inside the Capitol. And then I walked outside. So it is true that there were only 1,620 people that were allowed indoors. But last Monday, there was over 20,000 Oklahomans gathered outside to demand change. I couldn't find an account of how many were there Tuesday, but I know it was a lot. But on Wednesday, there were over 35,000 Oklahomans gathered to organize with one mind and one heart for the common good. Organizations and individuals of all kind brought food and water and toilet paper because the women's restrooms were running out of toilet paper all the time. They brought shade from the sun for folks that were camped up outside. There were tents everywhere. And most importantly, people brought support for everyone each and every day. It was breathtaking. It was inspiring. It was biblical. And it was spiritual. We read the stories of our ancestors, not because they are old and we need to remember them. We read and learn the ancient stories because they contain wisdom that is applicable to us in the here and the now. And because pledging allegiance to and abiding within the kingdom of God is still a better way to live as compared to simply allowing those who are currently in charge make all the decisions about how we are going to treat each other. So this week, we are actually going to have an opportunity to take part in our own community organizing. So I want to invite Suzanne Nichols to begin to make her way up here. She is going to finish my sermon. I just sent it to her this morning, and she said, yep, I can finish that. But she is going to speak to us about something important in the life of our church and provide us a way to live into the kingdom of God. So, Suzanne.
About 10 years ago, this church, along with several other churches and some nonprofit organizations, came together as a community to begin to look at how we can work together to improve our community, our lives, for families and for our churches. Because coming together is a much bigger impact, as we've seen this week. The more people, the bigger the impact. And we eventually called this group VOICE, which is Voices Organizing in Civic Engagement. We are a coalition now of churches and nonprofits and a couple of teacher organizations. And we work together to improve the lives of families in our state. This church was a founding member of that organization. And right now I am the lead person from our church with VOICE. We came together out of a deep sense of mission and concern to begin a conversation about the pressures facing families and individuals in Oklahoma. The conversation led to the creation of VOICE and to work that we've done to help hold public officials accountable for the decisions that they make and how we live day to day in our community. I think that's part of what's been going on this week, is a lot of the work that VOICE had done with OEA, who is a major member of VOICE, to raise the issues that are involved in education. And they've just grown over the years because of the legislature's continuance of cutting funding. Working with VOICE, we've done some other things. We've challenged the high state testing laws that relate to education. We fought against proposed utility rate increases. We have taken on predatory lending. And we've worked on post-incarceration of lives and the fines and fees that are assessed. It's been good work, but now it's time to shape our agenda for the next few years. And we do that by listening to the stories of the people in our congregations. We are focusing now on a time of the economic pressures that our members face. In September, the Policy Institute shared with VOICE that only 44% of families in Oklahoma would be considered economically healthy. Only 44%, meaning that they have adequate income to meet regular expenses, have a savings account, and low or no debt. I'm not sure I even fit into the low or no debt category. According to a financial analysis of retirement readiness, Oklahoma ranks 50 of 51 states, we always include the District of Columbia, except when it comes to voting for president, for retirement savings per capita. So we are at the bottom again. Now we're going to come together in house meetings. We have three scheduled this week. It's in your bulletin. They begin tomorrow. We will be having house meetings across the city and all the congregations. And we will be able to shape the mission and the agenda for both our church and for VOICE in the next few years. We're having meetings Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week. Sometimes short notice is good notice, because you know you need to do it, and you've got three options. They're all here at the church, so that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6:30 on Monday and Tuesday, right after choir, which is about 7 on Wednesday. Connor will lead Monday and Tuesday. Connor, won't you stand? And Nancy will lead Wednesday night after choir. Is that right? Did I say it right? No, we changed it to this week. We are going to have a follow-up meeting on the 24th. Yes, it sounds like I'm not doing anything, and that's right. I'm going on vacation Tuesday, and I'll be back on the 22nd. And so my meeting is the 24th. It'll be at my house, and if you haven't attended, we'll be calling you in between those times. But try to make it these weeks, these next three meetings. Tell us. Give us your stories. Tell us what's important to you. Where in your life are you having problems? Where is the kingdom of God not being manifest in your life? We will bring those issues on April 26th to a full meeting of all the Voice organizations, and then Voice will make it. We'll do kind of a ranking thing, and then we'll decide which issues that, as a group that we're working on. Doesn't mean we can't work on issues that aren't on that list, and we might want to. So that's what's going to be happening. You have a chance to come together to help build the kingdom of God next 3 days. We want to know what you think and what you care about. So sign up right after the service. Nancy and Connor have sign-up sheets. We'll be out in the vestibule, and then we're going to go into the meeting in the community hall after. So we'll be able to answer questions, but the basic thing is we need your input on what's important to you. Because that's how we come together as a community. That's how we organize with the stories and the problems, the issues, where you have concerns and cares. That's where we need to work. So come join us the next few nights.